sense our hearts burning within us, and we may hear by the Holy Spirit his word for us today. Amen. Please do sit down. Okay, let me start with confession time. This will shock you. You'll be shocked. For most of my life, in fact, many years, I have not wanted to have a dog in my house. Now, how many of you here are dog owners? Okay, one or two. It's not that I'm against dogs. I was not against dogs. I just didn't think, I think they live outside, I live inside. That's how it is with animals. You don't have animals in your house. That was my view for many years. I never grew up with dogs, and I resisted having dogs. Until, of course, when you get three children in the house, they start to wear you down a bit, and they say, you know, basically, my life is not worth living, Dad, unless we have a dog. I'm thinking, well, I held out for a long time, but eventually, about 10 years ago, I caved in. Now, the children, they wanted a puppy. Of course they did. They wanted a puppy because they're cute. But I know all about puppies, that they're disobedient, that they wee all over the carpet, and they chew your curtains. And I felt, well, look, I've got three children who take no notice whatsoever of what I say. Why would I want to introduce another creature into the house who would also take no notice of what I had to say? So in the end, we had a compromise, and 10 years ago, we got a rescue dog called Maggie as a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Now, sadly, last year, Maggie died, but we've just got a new rescue dog, Bruno, also a Staffy, and we're working with him now on his disobedience issues. We're getting there. He's actually a pretty good dog. For, you know, rescue dogs, you know, they come with issues, but we're working on the obedience routines. As I read the gospel reading to you this morning, I wonder which word leapt out at you. What was the word that you thought, if there's one word to describe what this passage from Jesus is all about, what would that one word be? Anybody want to have a guess? What was the passage? You see, you weren't listening, were you? I'll have to read it. What? Love. Yes, that's the word that springs to mind, isn't it? It's part of Jesus' words to his disciples on the last night, the Last Supper, the day before he's crucified, a long discourse in John, part of his words about being the true vine, abiding in him. We live in him. He lives in us. And then he goes on to say these words. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And it is the word love that leaps to mind there. It's a great Christian word, isn't it? We all like the idea of love. It's a kind of puppyish word. You know, there are lots of songs, isn't there, and films and books all about love. And it's a word, whenever I preach a sermon, I need to tip a hat to, because it seems to be really important that being a Christian is being someone who loves others in the same way that Jesus has loved us. But there is another word, or set of words, in this passage that are perhaps not quite so comfortable or cuddly as the word love. Let me just read those words to you again with a slightly different emphasis. Jesus says, "Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Obedience, to obey somebody, that's a word we're perhaps less comfortable with. We don't live, do we, in a world where people are very keen on just being told what they have to do. Well, we expect children, ideally, if possible, to obey their parents. We hope that dogs will obey their masters or mistresses. But we as grown-ups don't think we should necessarily be told what to do. We'll obey the law, but we no longer feel that we need to be pushed around by other people. That's a change, isn't it, in the way we think. You know, the idea in the past, the gaffer told you what to do, or the vicar told you what to do, and you jumped when you were told. Those days are gone, And that, by and large, has got to be a good thing, hasn't it? We don't want to go around tugging our forelocks to people. But what about that word obedience then, as it comes up in our gospel passage? Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. How do we work out the relationship between that wonderful word of Jesus, that we're to love one another, but also to recognize that it comes as a kind of command, something that Jesus says we have to do? Is this a little bit like the kind of doggy training obedience? You know, you sit when you're told and you do what you have to do. Well, it is obviously something more than that. When Jesus talks to his disciples, we know that what he wants to do is actually set them free from having to live life according to a set of rules. He says, instead of living to a set of rules, what you need to learn to do is to love one another. Ironically, of course, that loving one another is given to him, given to the disciples, as the one command, the one rule that Jesus expects of them. So Jesus says, you don't live according to a set of rules, but there is one rule that you do need to live by. There is one command you need to listen to. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. That, he says, is the only rule you need to follow. And that takes us back to this idea of obedience. Because the word obedience to us means someone else telling us what we have to do. But actually, that's not what it always meant, or not entirely what it meant. In the past, the word obedience meant to listen, to be attentive, to take note of something. That's why monks and nuns swear an oath of chastity, poverty, and obedience. They're there to listen to what God has to say. So our obedience is not that we follow rule A, B, C, D, and E, and then everything will be all right. Our obedience is the obedience of listening to what love has to say to us. So in any situation we find ourselves, says Jesus, the first question we ask is, what's the rule here? What rule do I have to keep? That's not the first question. The first question is, what does love demand of me? How do I obey love's claim upon me in this situation, in this relationship with these people? That's what Jesus says. He says, you're going to have to, in a sense, take responsibility for yourself. You're no longer servants. You are my friends. And the one command I give you is this: listen to the demands of love. Pay attention in any situation, wherever you are, whoever you're with, to what love demands that you do. Love, said Jesus elsewhere, is the fulfilling of the law. It is love that is the only and the greatest commandment. But that can be quite challenging, can't it? That can be quite challenging. Come on to that in a moment. But first of all, let's think about the story of the Good Samaritan as a story about that kind of love in action. You see, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans and Jews don't get on with each other. We know that. In fact, they would have nothing to do with each other. When the Samaritan walks along the road and finds a wounded man, what rule is there? What law is there that says he's got to help him? There's no rule. In fact, the rules say you have nothing to do with Jews. That's the rule. But actually, the Samaritan listens not to the rule book, but to the demands of love and compassion and care, and so he helps that wounded man. If he'd followed the rules, he probably would have just carried on walking. But actually, sometimes we need to go further. And what we discover is that actually when we listen to the demands of love, it is much more challenging for us. In some ways, it's easier, isn't it, to know what the rule is. This is what I have to do in this situation. We don't like being told what to do, but we also like to know what we ought to do. We want to have clarity about what the rules are. But actually, when we're listening to demands of love, there is no rule book, but there is that one commandment that we hear what love has to say to us. And what it has to say to us is challenging, because Jesus says, there's no greater love than this, than a man or a woman lay down his life for his or her friends. That's what love means. There's no rule that says you have to do that. Love always goes a lot further. So, obedience and love. As we live in Christ and as Christ lives in us, both those things must be part of our lives. The great commandment is that we love. We love one another. We love in the way that Jesus loved. We go beyond what the rule book might tell us. We go beyond what we have to do or what we ought to do. Instead, we love as God loves us. And that, brothers and sisters, is extraordinarily challenging, because it's always easier just to stick to the rules. It's much more difficult to say, well, never mind what the rule says here. What does love demand of us? The ancient church father Tertullian wrote that one of the reasons Christians were persecuted in the 4th century was that they obviously loved one another. See how these Christians love one another. And that sometimes makes me feel a bit anxious, because I wonder if our churches also reflect that kind of quality of love. But we are called as Christians here to model the kind of loving, the kind of relationships that go beyond what is written in the law and in the rules and what we ought to do. And instead, we are to love one another as God has loved us in Jesus. And that is a sacrificial love. That's a demanding love. That's a challenging, powerful, beautiful love. And that's the kind of love that you and I are called to share. Amen.